Tonight, I'm not speaking just for myself, but for the Outreach Committee on the Social Responsibilities Group. We often call this the season of giving. Yet when December rolls around, my mind runs to concerns about shopping, wrapping, mailing, baking, parties, and writing Christmas cards. Not the big idea of giving. Most of my giving is concerned with what to give to my family and friends. I always start out thinking modestly, but as the days get closer, I add a lot of last-minute purchases that are not always so thoughtful, but help ease my fear that I haven't done enough for those I love. At the same time, I get many appeals from various groups, most of which I usually ignore. Either I've already given to them, or I don't feel strongly enough about their mission. Besides, I usually feel I've already overspent on holiday presents and special foods. But this year, the appeals have been more numerous. I've gotten things from groups that I've never donated to, making me aware that so many people, now more than ever, need our help. So what to do? What group to give to? I decided to apply the giving lessons I've learned from my family and our church. My father started me off by giving me money to give to our church and special causes. He taught me about tithing and supporting your church with a pledge. My first pledge was a dime a week at age 10. At the end of his life, he was giving about 20% of his income to charities. His minister remarked at his funeral that though their house was modest and their cars were old, my parents were the biggest pledgers to the church. Although I have never been able to match their generosity, I did increase my pledging after hearing about their own benevolence. My parents in this church have taught me about donating my time and services to groups that I support. There are so many people in this church who do so much for the greater community that I cannot begin to list them all. But they have always impressed me with their vigorous support for various causes, and I've started to do the same by volunteering at the soup kitchen. Money and time are important to the groups we believe in, but ultimately we must work to change the circumstances that cause their need. This is the most difficult task to accomplish. It requires the time and patience of many people, all putting forth a great deal of effort to change our institutions and reverse policies that stand in the way of change. I have found an organization that allows us to help affect an organizational change while still helping individuals by just donating some money. It is the Nashua Soup Kitchen and Shelter. An anonymous donor has offered up to $500,000 in matching dollars for every dollar donated by December 31st. This is a group that helps anyone in need. People can walk through their door, get a meal, shelter, a bag of food, counseling, job training, help with finding a permanent residence, rent and fuel assistance, as well as personal care supplies. They sponsor a social worker who goes to Concord to work on legislation that affects the neediest, such as expanding the food stamp program, and works with other groups to end homelessness and hunger in southern New Hampshire. When I went to their website, I was astonished at all the ways they help people facing homelessness and hunger. The anonymous donors said that he or she would enjoy their own food better knowing that others had enough to eat. Here are some personal examples of what happens at the food kitchen. A young man who came in to get a dinner gave us a big smile and thanked us for his meal, saying this is the first food he had had in 2 days. After losing his job, he didn't know where to go for help, and fortunately met a young woman who directed him to the kitchen. Jen Morton, who coordinates our soup kitchen volunteers, said she has seen two boys, ages 10 and 12, coming in alone for supper and wondered if they would be eating at all if it weren't for the kitchen. Everyone coming through the door is treated with respect, and all that is asked is that they afford one another and staff that same respect. On a final note, I read something in an obituary of a Boston philanthropist that seemed particularly appropriate for the situation. She said that for all you give, you get double that back in return. When I last checked the soup kitchen's website today at 5 o'clock, they had raised $483,000. $17,000 short of the goal. We still have a few days to make that goal, and I think that our church is going to be one of the groups that makes that goal be achieved. Please consider all that we have compared to those who are helped by the soup kitchen and shelter, and find your hands in your pockets to give a little more to make a big difference. Peace be to you all.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And it was heartwarming to hear the update on that, too. And so we are going to take a collection to help them get what, another $17,000 to get to their goal. Thank you very much for your generosity this evening. And as we receive our offering, we will be hearing from Kathy and Jenny Grossman, and then our choir will sing for us once again.